Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Carritis. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is Unfunded Insanity. Quite honestly, every episode could be titled Unfunded Insanity, or at least have the word insanity in it. At this clip, I'm probably going to go insane in the not-too-distant future. Some of you might already think I'm there. Well, hey, join me. So I want to talk market performance, some market headlines, obviously the unfunded liabilities. We're going to go to the U.S. debt clock to find a lot of this information and have some discussion today. Lebanese resignations. This is big news. Now, of course, it did get mainstream media coverage today, but you really have to focus on this stuff, folks, and this is why we have been discussing it for months. The political winds are changing direction. There is no leadership on the global stage. There is no honesty, truth-telling. It's kicking the can down the road. It is unfunded insanity. Those who have a printing press and the ability to continue printing, that's what they're doing. Those who don't have the ability but can still print but really can't sort of absorb the shock like we can here in the United States, at least temporarily, relative to other countries such as Lebanon, such as Zimbabwe, such as Venezuela, etc., etc., there is a shift going on. This is just the beginning. We saw it. Remember, we saw this before COVID-19. These global protests turning into riots because people are at wit's end. People are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And as I have stated, these protests, these riots, these calls for political overthrows and for these types of resignations, it is not transitory. It is history in the making. We are living in very historic times. As I have stated here repeatedly, I think yesterday and a couple weeks ago, I said, if you want to understand what it's like to be in the downfall of the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, the British Empire, yada, 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 you are in it. This is the decline of the United States of America. It does not have to be by any stretch of the imagination. We created these problems. We can solve these problems. But when I look at the politicians in Congress, when I look at who's in the White House with this administration, I do not see leadership. I see the same boss. That's all I see. It is the same playbook, almost to the penny, to the comma, to the period, of what this government is doing now is what the government did in the Great Depression. Those actions caused the Great Depression. We cannot continue to do the same thing and expect a different outcome. That is the definition of insanity. Unfunded insanity. Because we're broke. We are broke. Yes, the Treasury has cash. Yes, they're still collecting taxes. But you know, a lot of the money that's sitting in the Treasury's coffers is not actually from taxation. You know this now. It's records because of the money printing. Turn on those printing presses, J. Powell. Oh, of course, our pleasure. Without hesitation. Why don't you go out there and advocate for even more spending? Because you're broke and a lot of the country is unemployed. So you can't really tax them. So we're going to have to print even more. So go out there, justify, do what you got to do. And that's why we're talking about this today. I know, obviously, I was away last week. I posted two podcasts yesterday. One was the typical Thursday data analysis. Obviously, last Friday was the first Friday of August, which means that the jobs report was out. So we took the time to go through that. I briefly mentioned in both of those episodes that the President of the United States, because the White House, in conjunction with Congress, could not come to another deal, basically Nobody Cares Act Jr., so the President took it upon himself to sign executive orders to extend unemployment benefits and to suspend the payroll tax. Now, For those of you who might be unfamiliar, and I stated this yesterday, this is extremely unconstitutional. I don't care who you are. I don't care what other statute you're going to throw in my face or this, that, or the other. This is unconstitutional, plain and simple. Congress has the power of the purse strings. They have the power to spend. They have the power to tax, not the President of the United States. An extension of unemployment benefits is spending. Payroll tax, you get the word tax, is a tax. He cannot suspend it. And that's what it is. It's a suspension. It's not an elimination. It's a suspension. Meaning you're going to have to pay it come tax time next year. So the whole purpose of it, obviously, is for you to get that extra money and to go spend it. Well, you're going to be surprised come tax time next year, aren't you? And then, of course, you have Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin out on the news waves, basically threatening the American people, extorting them, whatever word you want to use, saying, look, that's true. It is just a suspension. But if you want it to become permanent, you're going to have to vote for the president again. Isn't this great? This is what our country has come to. It's all about dollars and cents. Who's going to get bailed out? Who's going to cut my taxes? But you got to vote for me. Who's going to basically suspend the Constitution or trample it, shred it, whatever you want to say, to sign these executive orders? And you got to vote for me in order for it to become permanent, which is no guarantee. Because again, the president doesn't have the authority to do this. It would have to go through Congress. So Congress would have to make it either a true cut, where you get to keep the money, or they would have to eliminate it, which if you eliminate it, all you're going to do is throw a bigger hole into the deficit and thus the national debt. Because the main contributing factors of our unfunded liabilities in this country, and thus our deficits and thus our national debt, is Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, which of course, the payroll tax funds, which is why we are talking about this at greater length today. And we're going to get into some of those numbers. So a lot we want to cover here today. Some market headlines. We have the Singapore economy contracts at a record pace. Singapore's economy contracted 42.9% in the second quarter of 2020 from the previous 3 months, compared with the government's initial estimate of a 41.2% contraction. Lockdown measures to contain the outbreak of the deadly coronavirus have inflicted unprecedented pain on the export-oriented economy. That's huge. Australia business sentiment deteriorates. National Australia Bank's index of business confidence plunged to minus 14 in July from a downwardly revised zero in the prior month. Don't worry about it, because the Australian markets right now are trading up about 0.8%. Basically, they are following the U.S. markets. Bad news is good news for the stock market. Fantastic. Let's see, on the coronavirus, the United States has crossed the 5 million threshold. This is number of cases. We are the global leader in cases. Brazil is in a not-too-distant second place at a little over 3 million cases, and India rounds out the top three with 2.2 million cases. Not good, folks. We have to get this under control. I'm sure a lot of this is overstated. Errors, false positives, all that jazz, but it is serious. We have to take it seriously. And we just have to practice good hygiene. We know this. We've had these discussions. I don't want to go off on a tangent on that, but that's what it is. Market performance for the day. The markets were mixed. NASDAQ was down a little bit today. Dow Jones Industrial Average had a nice gain, as did the S&P 500. The Russell 2000 ended up in the green as well. Right now in overnight futures, we have the Dow Jones, S&P, and the NASDAQ 100 all trading up in the green about 0.3%. Japanese cash trade right now is up 1.8%. A sea of green in the trading session today across the pond in Europe, anywhere from, well, relatively flat in Germany, all the way up 1.4% in the Spanish markets. On the commodity front, we have WTI trading at $42.28 a barrel. Brent is at $45.22. Natural gas at $2.17. Another decent day for gold and silver, although at the time of this podcast, spot prices are giving a little of their gains back. Spot gold is at $2,019 an ounce, and silver is at $28.96 an ounce. Again, long-term bull market, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to precious metals, you have to look at all of the fundamental drivers. Real negative interest rates, national and international politics and all of the uncertainty, the banana republic printing of money, it's not going to stop. I told you yesterday, I've been telling you for months, they are going to continue with spending. Now, they're going to call it stimulus. It's not. It's spending. This is a little game they're playing. Donald Trump wants to put on a little spectacle with the executive orders because he was completely against them when he was a private citizen. He was completely against them when he was a candidate for presidency, railing against President Obama for his excessive use of executive orders. And rightly so. Barack Obama was unable to get immigration reform done. So you got DACA, you got the Dreamers, you got all this immigration crap, right? Well, you can't get it done. Oh, too bad. I'm going to sign an executive order. Completely unconstitutional, and that's what it is. This is the same thing here. Just because it's your guy does not make it right. Now, if you want to announce that, just be honest. Just be honest. I am going to suspend the Constitution. I am going to suspend the rule of law. Because it's my guy. Just be honest with me, and I will have a lot more respect for you. Seriously. But don't tell me it's fine for them to do it, because it isn't. This is not what this country stands for. And we have a do-nothing Congress. And when they do something, it's even worse. So you're almost better with them doing nothing. Because I'm completely against these bailouts. But at the drop of a hat, they can give billions and trillions away to the largest corporations in the world. Again, not just in this country, but globally. Okay, that's your money going to foreign companies. It's fantastic, isn't it? But for you to extend unemployment or to do this, that, or the other, it can't be done. Can't be done. And again, I'm not for it. But if you're going to give billions and trillions away to corporations by corporate debt, well, my God, why can't they help out the people? But don't forget, if you do get some government money and you're paying off a bank or somebody you owe, all it does is makes you a middleman for another banker bailout. So don't forget that, because that's crucial. That is crucial. On the bond front, Uncle Sam's 10-year Treasury junk note is up. It is yielding 0.59%. Still range-bound, but this is something we're going to pay close attention to. And then on the dollar front, we have the dollar index trading down slightly right now, 93 spot 51. All right, before we get into the unfunded insanity, I want to take the time to read a brief article from ABC News pertaining to the resignation of the Lebanese government. So, Lebanon government resigns in wake of Beirut blast and protests. The Lebanese government has resigned in the aftermath of the massive explosion in Beirut and anti-government protests, Prime Minister Hassan Diab announced on Monday. Quote, I declare today the resignation of the government, end quote, Diab said in a press conference. Quote, may God protect Lebanon, end quote. He said his cabinet had the interest of the Lebanese people at heart, but that they faced huge corruption. Diab will head to the presidential palace to hand in his resignation. President Michel Aoun will remain in his post. The president accepted the resignation, and the government was asked to stay on in a caretaker capacity. Protesters over the weekend widely criticized the government, calling for regime change and accusing the government of negligent handling of the over 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate left in a warehouse for 6 years at the capital's port. The explosion has killed at least 160 people and injured thousands of others. Further, protests continued on the streets as Diab addressed the nation. The massive blast leveled much of Beirut's port, one of the country's key economic hubs, and caused widespread devastation across the city. Exactly what they do not need, as they are already in a total economic collapse. The exact cause of the explosion is still unknown, but it is believed to have been caused by a fire at the warehouse storing the ammonium nitrate, which can be explosive when exposed to high levels of energy. At least 300,000 have been left homeless by the blast, 80,000 of whom are children, according to UNICEF. 300,000. Unbelievable. And you already have the civil war in neighboring Syria and that huge human refugee crisis. I mean, everything is just coming to a head. The mass resignation follows a weekend of violent protest in the Lebanese capital. Riot police and the parliamentary police used tear gas against protesters, some of whom tried to break through a barrier to reach the parliament building on Saturday. Local media also accused the police of using live ammunition in some instances. The international community has pledged millions of dollars to Beirut's relief effort. However, years of alleged corruption and mismanagement has seen world leaders, including President Macron of France, indicate that the funds will go directly to the Lebanese people rather than to the government. Eric Verdil, a researcher at the Political Institute in Paris and specialist of Lebanon, told ABC News that, quote, corruption is embedded in the Lebanese political system, end quote, in an interview last week. Was some genius. This is the only genius they can find. Tell us something we don't know. Corruption is embedded in the Lebanese political system. Hey, Eric, it's also embedded here in the United States of America in one country after the other. That's the best we can get here, ABC News. Come on, up it. The country is in a position of severe financial difficulty, becoming the first Middle Eastern country to enter, here it is, folks, hyperinflation last month, as we discussed, making even basic goods unaffordable for many Lebanese. Negotiations between Lebanon and the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, over a potential bailout have reached a stalemate in recent months, which we have also covered, with political reform a precondition for any financial aid for the stricken country. So there you have it, folks. Hyperinflation, an economy, a country in total collapse. This is a ripple effect. Maybe you thought I was crazy months ago saying that protests and riots are going to be coming to a theater near you. Well, here they are. Here they are, and they're upping it, right? I mean, you had the looting going on in Chicago, Washington, D.C., of course, the anarchy and absolute just mindlessness and insanity going on in Oregon. This is the continuation of everything. This is not going to get better anytime soon. In fact, it's going to get worse, and I think it's going to get much, much worse. And I think a lot of people understand this, and a lot of people are leaving the cities, which is why you have this crazy, crazy market, to put it lightly, where you have massive unemployment, which typically signals that there is going to be weakness in the real estate market, and believe me, there will be, it is coming. But right now, because you have all of this chaos taking place in major cities, and people say, well, you know what, I'm going to be able to work remotely. I don't need all the hustle and bustle of a city. I'd rather have some property. I'd rather have a yard, something for my kids to grow into, all that jazz. Now you have people rushing to some of these suburbs, jacking the prices up. And of course, we have record low interest rates. So there's the trade-off, folks, because there is no free lunch. I'm going to have low interest rates, but if I want to buy a house, I'm going to have to pay a lot higher price for it as we continue through a Great Depression. Only in 2020, only with what is going on right now, can you have this type of contradiction of massive unemployment and home prices still continuing to rise. Now, that's going to be temporary. We will have our top-down, bottom-up squeeze. It's coming. You have the moratoriums. You have the evictions, the millions of evictions that are waiting in the wings. This is going to put huge downward pressure on those home prices. And God only knows what's going to happen with these people, where they're going to go, and how they are going to respond. Because this is very emotional, getting kicked out of your apartment, getting kicked out of your home, whatever you got, especially if you have kids, and it's already struggling to pay the bills, put food on the table, as we've discussed. Some 30 million Americans are basically underfed to some degree, and it's not going to get better again any time soon. So, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. The dominoes are set. They are starting to fall. Lebanon is one such example. It will be interesting to see what happens over the coming weeks and months. I will continue to keep you posted. USDebtClock.org, $26,625 billion is the U.S. national debt at this moment. And of course, it'll make your head spin. The U.S. federal budget deficit, the quote-unquote official, because there is a difference between the official and the actual is always higher, and the actual is actually what you have to take into consideration when you look at the year-over-year change of the U.S. national debt. Of course, the government wants to put some things off balance sheet and all that jazz. The actual is what matters. To understand what the actual is, look at the year-over-year change of the U.S. national debt. So, the official is $2.8 trillion. The actual is $3,950 billion. And as I have been stating here for months, in agreement with what the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, had forecasted months ago, that this year, fiscal year 2020, which comes to a conclusion at the end of September, will hit a deficit of $4 trillion. And as I have stated, it will surpass that. Well, we have the rest of August, and we have all of September. We are going north of $4 trillion, ladies and gentlemen. And who knows what these idiots in Washington, D.C. are going to come up with next with another round of spending. And of course, they're going to call it stimulus. A trillion and a half, $2 trillion. God only knows, but we're going to find out soon enough. Okay? Now, because President Trump signed these executive orders, again, completely unconstitutional, and being extorted by the Treasury Secretary to say, well, if you want them to become permanent or this, that, and the other, you're going to have to vote for Donald Trump. This is outrageous, but that's what they're going to continue to do. All right? So, we have Social Security outlays are over $1 trillion. Medicare, Medicaid are over nearly $1.3 trillion. Okay? You ready for this? You ready for the big kahuna, the unfunded insanity? All right, U.S. unfunded liabilities comes in at a total of $153 trillion. $153 trillion. The human mind can't even process this. That's how big this number is. $153 trillion. And again, the biggest contributing factors are Social Security, which comes in at $20.6 trillion, and the Medicare liability comes in at $31.9 trillion. So those combined are over $50 trillion. Those combined are over a third, or about a third, of the total U.S. unfunded liabilities. And if you cut the payroll tax, you are just going to make this even worse. You're going to make up for it through inflation, money printing, and then we're going to see the effects thereof. Maybe, just maybe, they'll cut the benefits of people receiving Social Security. That's not going to go over very well with that huge voting bloc. So there's no free lunch, folks. Somebody's going to have to pay for this at some point, and we're already paying for it. People just can't make the connection. You know, a lot of these idiot economists who get on there and say, oh, well, the debts and deficits don't matter. And then they go down and they read off a list of one problem after the next. And they can't make the connection that most of those problems are caused because of the out-of-control deficit spending, which leads to a $26 trillion national debt. They can't make the connection that money printing causes problems, huge problems. They can't put it together. Why millennials can't find jobs, why education is so damn expensive, why housing and rent is so expensive. They can't put it together. Why health insurance and medical costs are through the roof. They can't put it together. They just think it's the damn Republicans or it's the damn Democrats. That's all they think. They can't put together the actual Econ 101. They can't connect the dots. Yet these are the people at the helm. The exact wrong people. which is exactly why we have the exact situation we are in, which is completely unsustainable. It's criminal, it's corrupt, it's immoral, it's unethical, it's un-American. But keep it going, baby, because this is 2020, we are a banana republic, and we're just going to continue to print these IOUs that are junk. Nobody wants them, and I don't know when, but it is going to happen, and it's going to happen, I would say, relatively soon. And when I say relatively soon, I'm talking in a broader historical context, so I'm really talking 10 years, within a decade or so, the U.S. dollar is going to lose its reserve status because you cannot continue with these asinine policies and expect everybody to continue to buy our debt so we can continue to live beyond our means to continue with this insanity. The rest of the world's going to wake up because they can't continue to do it either. They can't continue to buy our debt. That's why the Federal Reserve's stepping in to buy it all up. It's debt monetization. It's a banana republic, virtually by definition. We've checked off so many boxes, I don't know how many more we got left to go. Not many. We're there. We are there. And politicians love it. Central bankers love it. But you're not going to love it when you got to pay for it. And you're already paying for it now, whether you realize it or not. And what's really coming is the true pain. You have hyperinflation in Lebanon. You got it in Venezuela. They may very well see it in Iran and Turkey. Argentina defaults all the time. They're familiar with hyperinflation, believe me when I tell you. Zimbabwe, the list goes on and on. South Africa is in trouble. I mean, these ripple effects are not tiny. They might start off small, but they will make their way through the global supply chain, global economies, geopolitical tensions, the Cold War between the United States and China. I mean, and that's another thing that we got to pay attention to with this Cold War, because it's all propaganda. Right? Everything's propaganda. The Chinese are going to inflate all their numbers to make themselves look better, and so are we here in the United States. That's just the fact of the matter. That's why you got to go beneath the headlines. You got to read the jobs report. You got to go in to the initial claims report. You got to dig a little deeper. You got to talk about it a little bit more to provide a little bit more context and color so we really know what's going on. If we can say that. Because like I said yesterday, with all of the distortionary effects, with all of these policies that they're implementing, the Nobody Cares Act, the PPP loans, yada, 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 it's very difficult to get a true picture of what's going on. And if they pass something else, which they're going to, that's just going to be more distortionary effects. And again, for those who are trying to make decisions on both sides of the ledger, whether you're an entrepreneur and a producer or whether you're a consumer, if you got bad information, you're likely going to make a poor decision. It's not necessarily your fault. This is the information that you were given. These are the distortions that you have to deal with. And as a consequence, you're going to make a poor decision. And when you add this up in aggregate, that can be a lot of mistakes. And it can be very, very costly, all of the malinvestment that adds up. Now, in a free market capitalistic system, which we are supposed to be, but we are clearly not, that system would flush out all of the malinvestment. And it would make us a lot healthier. I mean, we got a virus going on, right? Well, the body is supposed to cleanse it out. That's exactly what free market capitalism would do. It would cleanse it out. That's what's supposed to happen. But you might have a bad night. You might get sweaty. You might have some cramps. You might have some discomfort. You might have some pain. You might not like it. But when you endure it, and you will, you're going to be fine the next morning. But nobody wants to deal with the pain. Nobody wants to make the sacrifices. So we're going to continue to kick the can down the road. We're going to continue to put on more moratoriums. We're going to continue to extend pandemic unemployment, unemployment insurance, and everything. We're going to continue to buy corporate debt of the world's largest corporations, some of which have more money than God. And we're not going to bat an eye. We're not going to say that the debts and deficits matter. We're not going to say that this is going to affect our children's future. We're not going to say that this affects future generations and current generations, and that it's going to be truly decimating. None of this is going to be said. None of it. And even if it is, it's all talk, no action, because we're already, again, on the path to a $4 trillion national deficit. And I've put this number in context for this audience before. $4 trillion. That would be one of the largest economies in the world. United States, China, the euro area, Japan, and the United States national deficit for this year alone. Bigger than Germany. Okay? So a little bit of perspective, a little bit of context. This is completely out of control, and we're all paying for it dearly. But hey, the stock market's up. Your 401k is supposedly okay, even though stocks really haven't moved since 2018. But who's paying attention to that? But there you have it, folks. Unfunded insanity. We'll leave it there. Of course, we will continue this conversation to come because these numbers are going in the wrong direction because we have the wrong policies. You got to tune people into the Capital News. Free market capitalism in a constitutional republic as outlined by the United States Constitution, if we can piece it back together, tape it, glue it, whatever we got, because they ran it through the shredder, is the solution. We have the blueprint to success. Our future can be so much better, so much brighter, but we have to restore American values. We have to. Otherwise, we're going to fall by the wayside. We will look like Lebanon in the not-too-distant future. But we don't have to. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Kritis. Godspeed.